As we study in the book of Judges, we've come to the study of Samson. This chapter starts, as so many of them do in the book of Judges, characterizing the life, the apostasy, the restoration of the children of Israel. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. We have some other passages in the Judges which speak of every man did that which was right in his own eyes, followed by every man did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, followed by the Lord delivered them into the hands of the enemy. In this instance, it's the Philistines. Samson was of the tribe of Dan. When the children of Israel first entered the land of Canaan, they were given their division just west of Jerusalem, and the town in which Manoah and his wife lived was Zorah, about 14 miles due west of Jerusalem. The Philistines, or Philistines, as whichever you wish to call them, a seafaring people had come in and had taken possession of the coast along the territory west of Jerusalem, and their territory bounded that of the Danites. And the Lord just delivered the children of Israel into the hands of the Philistines, and they were under their oppression for 40 years. 40 occurs over and over in the Word of God. 40 seems to be the number of probation. 40 days of rain. Our Lord fasted 40 days. You find it recurring again and again and again. And for 40 years, the children of Israel were subject to the oppression of the Philistines. That was a judgment the children of Israel had brought upon themselves by this apostasy and turning away from the Lord. People wonder how it is that in time of dire extremity, deep distress, we turn to the Lord and we call upon the Lord, and the Lord hears and the Lord answers, and we straightway forget. I was thinking today of some personal experiences of being with people in times of stress, of great trial. I'm thinking of two instances where the doctors judged the loved one terminally ill. I listened to loved ones standing around the bedside making all sorts of claims and promises to the Lord. Lord, if you'll spare this one, I'll do this and that. Lord, if you'll spare this one, I'll do this. I'll never do this. See, every promise made, broken within the space of 2 or 3 weeks. You wonder at those things. We judge the children of Israel harshly because they turn away from the Lord and back to things, and we do the same thing ourselves. How quickly we forget. And so the children of Israel cry out unto the Lord. The Lord hears their cry. The Lord sends a prophet. In this instance, he sends a judge to undertake turn the children of Israel back. Now let's note here in the second verse. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and bare not. This puts Manoah and puts Samson in the class with Abraham and Isaac, with Zacharias and Elizabeth and their son, John the Baptist. They're in very select company. Direct intervention of the supernatural power of God in bringing into existence a human being to do his will. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. And the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. The angel of the Lord. You'll read that expression over and over again. You note here the word Lord is spelled in capital letters, signifying that the Hebrew word is Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, you recall and remember in the ninth chapter of Genesis, studying prophecy of Noah, he said concerning Shem, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. He uses the Hebrew words, Blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem. Jehovah is the name of the second person of the Godhead, or Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Some people get disturbed because they're reading the Gospel of John. No man had seen God at any time. Isaiah said, Woe is me, I've seen the Lord. Manoah's wife cries out something about having seen the Lord. That occurs many times, but the second person of the Godhead is the one who revealed himself to man. I think what is said in the Gospel according to John, no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as the Trinity is one in the heavens. No man has seen that at any time. But when Jehovah revealed himself to man, he appeared in the form of a man, and his glory was hidden by the flesh that man could gaze upon him. But as you read of the manifestations of God to man in the Old Testament, when he appeared unto Abraham, as Abraham sat at the tent door, saw three men approaching. One of them was Jehovah. Moses, seeing the burning bush, turned aside, and out of the burning bush, Jehovah spoke unto him. Joshua, downhearted because of the defeat at Ai, prostrate in the dust, praying unto the Lord, had one speak to him, said, As the captain of the Lord's host, I'm come unto thee, Jehovah. And here Jehovah appears to Manoah. I wonder if you grasp the significance and gravity of a situation where Jehovah, the Christ, the second person of the Godhead, leaves heaven and comes to earth to appear to mortal man. But he said, now he appeared unto Manoah's wife, and he tells her of the miracle that God is going to perform, but he lays upon her the burden of preparing herself by what she ate and what she drank, informing her that the son that is to be born to her was to be a Nazarite from the day of his birth till the time of his death. Ordinarily, the Nazarite vow was taken for just a brief period of time, usually 2 to 3 or 4 weeks. Every once in a while, as a rare occasion, one would take the vow for a year. But Samson would be under the Nazarite vow for all the days of his life. The Nazarite vow involved 3 aspects. He was not to touch the fruit of the vine as long as he lived. That's the grapevine. No wine, no grape juice, no jelly, no jam, no preserves, nor any shape, form, or fashion of anything that came from the vine. He was to let his beard and his hair go untouched. It being a shame for a man to have long hair, he let it grow during the space of the time of the Nazarite vow to make himself a public spectacle before man. And the third place, he wasn't to come in contact with any dead bodies, not even a member of his family. Undefiled. Now, we'll learn a little later that Samson's trouble came from his breaking of the Nazarite vow by allowing his hair, or revealing the secret of the vow to Delilah. And as he slept, his hair was cut and the vow was broken, and the Spirit of the Lord left him. We'll come to that a little later. Now, this woman returns to her husband. Verse 6 says, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. Now, the word terrible there is in line with another word that's oftentimes used to describe God, where it said his appearance was awful. Awful meaning simply full of awe. The appearance of God, or person of the Godhead, filled one with awe. That's noted in the many times in which the Lord suddenly appeared in the midst of the disciples and others, and the Scripture says they were afraid. And Jesus quieted them always, saying, fear not, fear not. But the presence of the Lord put fear in their heart. Just like you're driving down the street and you hear a police whistle, it scares you. Not because you're doing anything, but because you have done something, and you don't know whether it's for what was yesterday or today or tomorrow, what it is, but something's coming up. And the fear of God is in the people's heart, and every appearance of God scared the person to death, because they always think of God as coming in judgment. Few people ever think of him coming in grace, love, and mercy. She said his countenance was terrible. I was terrified at his presence, the glory of it that was manifested, though it was not the full glory. And she said unto him, behold, here's what he said to me. She told her husband, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and I drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Manoah entreated the Lord. O my Lord, he says, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. He believed what his wife said about the birth of the child, and he accepted the responsibility as best he could, I judge. And he prays to the Lord to let this man of God return and give them further instruction of what to do with the child, how to rear the child, how to train the child. Hannah didn't have that problem. She was to turn her child Samuel over to Eli the high priest and in the temple, and there he was to be reared. But let him come back and teach us and tell us. I could digress here and talk about the responsibility of parenthood, but I'm not qualified to talk much on parenthood because I have children of my own. Those who have no children seem to be best qualified. God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again. The angel of the Lord. He comes back unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. The woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? Are you the one that was talking to my wife the other day?" He said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass." Reminiscent in one respect of what Mary said to the angel when he told her of her coming conception and birth of the Lord. She said, "Let it be unto thy handmaid and according to thy will." How difficult Christians find it at times to say unto the Lord, "Not my will, but thine be done." Most of us know what we think we want to do. And most of us want the Lord to come and help us with our plans. Few of us ever think of seeking the Lord's will for us. Because he was with us yesterday and guided, led, and blessed, we assume his presence with us today. We're going to learn a tragic lesson from Samson's life later on in this respect. After Delilah had her barbers cut his hair, the Philistines had bound him. She awakened him and said, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." And the scripture says, he arose and went out against the Philistines as he had done in days past, or as his custom was, not knowing the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, not knowing that his strength was gone, not knowing that the Lord wasn't with him. But here, let it be according to thy will. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? How shall we rear the child? How shall we train him? The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe." Lesson from the scripture, the influence of heredity. I doubt if that question will ever be resolved, which has the greatest influence, heredity or environment. There are classic examples on both sides. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "I pray thee, let us detain thee. Stay just a little while until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. We'll go out. We'll kill a lamb. dress it and cook it and feed you real good. You just wait a while. In the Orient, and especially in the Middle East, in this territory of the history of the Bible, breaking bread with an individual was a sign of friendship and a pledge of continued friendship. But the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. If thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. The angel of the Lord, very desirous that Manoah recognize him, our Lord, in talking to the rich young ruler who had come to him and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said to the young man, why callest thou me good? Why did you call me good? Do you know me? Do you recognize me? Why do you call me good when there is but one good? And that's the Lord God Almighty, is the only good. Now, do you recognize me as God? Is that why you call me good? Evidently he didn't, because, as he says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. And the rich young ruler didn't call him good anymore. Now here, he said, you want to fix a kid for me to eat. I won't eat of it. You can offer a sacrifice, but it must be unto the Lord. Not unto a man, but unto the Lord. I want you to see me as the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was the angel, not an angel, the angel of the Lord. There's just one angel of the Lord. There are many angels, but only one angel of the Lord. So Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? Who art thou? What is thy name? I never think of that, but what I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, approaching or being approached by that mad rabble, soldiers, others coming to take him as Judas would betray him. 500 soldiers. I would judge comparable to the SS troops of the Germans. 500 of them. And then as many or many more lookers on and mob. And as they came and stood before the Lord, he said, whom seekest thou? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Which he simply replied, I am. King James has the word he, I am he. He didn't say I am he, he just uttered his name, which was I am. And when he uttered the word I am, the 500 soldiers, the hundreds of the mob, all fell backward to the ground on their backs. Just the utterance of his name. I am. What is thy name? Who are you? Says Manoah. That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name? Seeing it is secret. Literally, seeing it is wonderful. That's what it is. Why do you ask me my name when you see and know it's wonderful? The word secret should be wonderful. We read in the 9th chapter of Isaiah about the names of the Lord, and one of the names of the Lord is wonderful. And you can apply that to any phase of his life. Wonderful in prophecy. Wonderful in his conception and birth. Wonderful in the virgin life that he lived. Wonderful in the incomparable teaching. Wonderful in the miracles he performed. Wonderful in the death that he died. Wonderful in his burial. Wonderful in his resurrection. Wonderful in his ascension. Wonderful in his intercession for us. Wonderful in his coming again. Wonderful. Now, why are you asking my name when you see it's wonderful? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. Manoah and his wife looked on. Came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven. I think we're justified in justifying, or we're justified in judging that the acceptance of a sacrifice by God in many instances was revealed by the appearing of fire. Now we read concerning Abel and his sacrifice. By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than did Cain. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but refused Cain's sacrifice. And there was taken a great sacrifice on Mount Carmel by Elijah, where the fire came down from heaven, consumed the altar, the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the water around. Accepted by fire. Fire. Many times in the Word of God, we read of fire from heaven. How easy for God in the acceptance of sacrifice, just send the fire from heaven, consume the sacrifice. And here, as the fire flames upward from the sacrifice, I want you to notice what took place. Verse 20. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. The angel of the Lord went up in the flame of fire. The angel of the Lord in flaming fire. Manoah and his wife looked on it, fell on their faces to the ground. Fire from heaven. Second Peter chapter 3, we're told that when the heavens and the earth that now are shall pass away, it'll be with this great fire that comes down from heaven. The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel, or the angel of the Lord. It's this appearance of him of which John speaks in chapter 1 when he says he was in the world and the world knew him not. Many times throughout the Old Testament he was in the world, but the world didn't know him. Then John says that though he was in the world and the world knew him not, yet as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the authority, to become the children of God. Because he was in the world and the world knew him not, to become the children of God. Because he was in the world and the world knew him not, he became flesh. and dwelt among us. Throughout the Old Testament, it was Jehovah in the Garden of Eden talking to Adam and Eve. It was Jehovah who drew them out of their hiding place after their sin. It was Jehovah that slew the animals and skinned them and dressed the hides and made the coats for aprons and put upon them, or coats upon them. Throughout the Old Testament, he appeared here and appeared there. But the world didn't know him. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. And he walked in and out among men. During his 3.5-year ministry, and then because the world rejected him, crucified him, he went back to heaven. But one day he's coming again. What a day that'll be. Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. Now Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." Look in Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to get the words of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face. With 20 covered his feet. With 20 he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the door, post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, the Jehovah of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin purged." Isaiah saw him. Elijah wanted to see him. Jehovah hid himself in the cleft of the rock. And he saw the backside of Jehovah as he passed by. I'm amazed. The number of people today who claim to see the Lord day after day. I heard someone in my room the other night, and I looked around, and it was Jesus. No, heaven is shut. Heaven is barred. Heaven is as brass over our heads. The Lord is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. He is coming back one day. We'll die. We've seen the Lord. But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all the things, nor would as at that time have told us such things." No, the Lord's not going to kill us. He received the burnt offering. He received the meat offering. He's told us all of these things. He told us what to do with the child. Told me what to do. And he's not going to kill us. The woman bare a son. Called his name Samson. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Thus ends the 13th chapter. Seems good to close there. Begin with that 14th chapter on next Wednesday evening. Father, bless this study and this meditation. May our thoughts more and more be upon Jehovah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. May we think of that day when He returns, catches us up to be with Him. May we think of that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to render an account of the deeds done in the flesh. May we think of that day when every wrong shall be made right, every sin unconfessed, brought to light and confessed. Now, Father, bless this study and meditation to our good, to Thine honor and glory. Go with us to our homes. May we go rejoicing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Enable us to cast all of our cares upon Thee, Lord. Forgive us now, we pray, of every sin, and keep us for Christ's sake. Amen.